two. That bomb's so far. Tink, they gotta move quick right now. They're going for it. The defuse is already happening. Hiko, are you kidding me? He's gonna go for it. They win the round. Hiko picks up a triple and Cloud9 win in one.
I can dance all day.
Now he can play goal one on wall. And into the mat. He's in on top three. They've lost three. They've lost four. Into the disaster. They've lost five. Navi disintegrating Tong Fu.
I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking.
He's thinking about it. Here it comes.
Man, from
Vengar's
to the
pretty
bottom.
Close.
They're going to dive in. It was the top.
Is
it exhausted Uzi? Oh, on the back. They're trying to get in. But Zero's taking over. Sorry. He's going to go down as well. Insane low. Insane goes down. Now Uzi is
just. Oh, my
yes.
There's a god.
Are you kidding me?
Let's keep it clean. It's family show.
Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show. Family show.
And welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, your professional gaming podcast. Episode 6 is about to begin. We've been doing this now for about a month and a half times worth of shows. They said it couldn't be done. They said it wouldn't be done.
We even said that.
We had our doubts. But we're here. We're here for episode 6. I am Tim. The voice you just heard was Brandon. Brandon, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Are you ready for episode 6? Probably the best episode yet. I don't want to overpromise, but...
You just set the bar really high.
Well, I'm confident that this episode 6 will be what takes us to the next level of 30 listeners. It will put us... I mean, this is really exciting stuff we have here for you today. We have a brand new segment we're going to introduce. It's called Clutch or Kick. We can explain it when we get to it, but basically we have a compilation of news stories and we'll see if they are worth sticking around, if we need to pay attention to them, or if we need to kick them from our desks and never hear from them again. Of course, we cannot do episode 6 without a Cluj preview for Counter-Strike GO, so we will definitely have the most of the episode surrounding that, considering that is just happening in a few days from this recording. So, big stuff happening there. Of course, we will always end the show on the micro like we have every other episode, and appears to be the same from here on out. We kind of like that bit. But first, we really need to get into another polarizing matter, if you will. Because it's not, you know, esports unless there's controversy and the man trying to take over the player. You want to introduce this to us? Basically, what it is Fnatic, the organization, not particularly to any game, not to, you know, a particular team, but Fnatic as a whole, introduced their new power of attorney terms and conditions, right?
First off, the most entertaining part about this is that it doesn't matter where or who gets the information. The esports, like, community is so small that it's going to get out. So I'm just going to throw that out there first. Somebody sent Richard Lewis a copy
of course.
Yeah, of course, Richard Lewis. He's the go-to guy for leaks, which, I mean, he does protect his sources, so good on him for that. Anyway, sent him a contract that Fnatic had already gotten their League of Legends and Dota 2 team, I believe, to sign. This Counter-Strike team refused to sign it because in the contract, it gave Fnatic power of attorney over any likenesses, names, anything over the players, that basically Fnatic could sign anything they wanted, and the players had to agree to it. The team has the right to do
so,
that.
So I guess, for example, correct me if I'm wrong here, if Fnatic wanted to put, you know, Olaf on a Wheaties box, they could without Olaf's permission.
Right. Basically, they would sign the paper and Olaf would just have to show up and do the photo shoot, essentially. So that's not really unheard of in sports.
Especially, no, I mean, like, it's you have an...
It makes sense.
You have certain... And most... I say most. Like, I have any idea for insider information. I think most sports have it to where you have certain obligations to meet, especially, and that will change based off of your superstar or not. Like, clearly Tom Brady will have more public obligation than, say, the second string center.
Yeah, and that was the thing. So if Fanatic didn't have that signed, that contract clause, they would have to go and ask the player every time they wanted to do some kind of promotional thing with that player. They would have to go ask them and get them to sign an agreement saying that you can use my likeness for this promotion. Makes sense. The biggest issue was in the clause was a word, irrevocable, which basically says as long as that contract stands, the player can never say you can no longer use my likeness for your promotion. So if like a player gets kicked off the team, like he's not allowed to play anymore, they can still pimp his face out for social media and events, and you know, he still has to show up to like signings or whatever they do for promotions, right, over in Europe.
It's odd when you think of, I mean, if you're no longer on the team, I doubt they would use you, but it is odd that they would have that in there, that they could hold it over your head. I don't think, though, I mean,
well, word on the street was that even if like the player signed that, if you were to take that contract to court, it probably wouldn't hold up, because you can't really just
own.
You
someone
can't have
like
yeah.
That.
You
that,
can't just have, I mean, your life signed away.
Clearly, hey, if we sign you to be in you know, Chicago on, you know, October 16th, we need you in Chicago October 16th. No, that would not hold up. And I think Fnatic as the organization went into this with good intentions, because even, I mean, what, their Dota, their League,
they all signed
Everybody
it.
Signed off on this except for the Counter-Strike team, right?
Right. And
so,
and
I don't think it was
bad. It only took
intentions.
Them 2 days to revise the contract to basically remove that word from the clause. And in that revision, they released a nice little statement, you know, like the opening line was like, although we feel that contractual clauses are a matter between two parties, blah, 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 we changed it. You know, everything's okay now. They all signed it.
Right. Basically,
basically,
even though we think everyone should mind their own effing business,
yeah, Fnatic
was
like,
care of it.
Fnatic says, you know, appreciate the leak a lot. Who knows who did it? I mean,
slowly slipping you the middle finger underneath the desk, basically saying it.
And then, of course, we did it.
Big
you've
whoa.
Got a JW's tweet, because this blew up on Reddit, and everybody
of
was
course.
Like, all the players,
of course,
or all the Redditors were freaking out, like,
oh my god,
rah-rah players, why would you do this, Fnatic?
The players didn't sign the contract. Will they go to the next tournament? Is Fnatic done?
And then JW says, Fnatic is the best professional organization I've ever worked for. And
get over. Yeah, everyone calm down. It's okay.
It was a simple, like, contractual issue, and
just like,
and it worked
any
out
other
it worked out exactly how it was supposed to.
Very few contracts or any power of anything gets signed the first time.
Exactly. It's like it worked out just how it was supposed to. They put it out there. The Counter-Strike player said no. They revised it. They signed it. Everybody's happy. But of course, leave it to Reddit too.
And this is all done without a players union or some hierarchy of people it needs to go through and a series of lawyers. No, the player sat down with the paperwork, maybe with some, you know, advisors. I have no idea.
Oh, I'm sure they had somebody there.
Hey, can you read this over? Make sure we're not getting completely screwed out of this.
I am a little concerned that the other two teams with Fnatic signed without, I mean, maybe their lawyers said it wasn't going to be a big deal, but.
Or even maybe they didn't view it a big deal. I mean, I think instantly when you think of irrevocable and people, you know, having power over anyone in this sense of saying, hey, we can use your likeness for whatever, I think people instantly start thinking like negative thoughts, like, okay,
well, yeah,
no one's going to put JW's face on, like, you know, YouPorn's website. Like,
unless
JW,
he joins Team YP.
Right, but JW will never be the face of any like sexual ad ever.
Yeah, but...
But, I don't think Fnatic is going to do anything. I think it was all put in good intentions, because obviously two out of the three big teams signed off on it.
Well, good intentions or not, I'm glad the Counter-Strike guys brought it up and fixed it, because, I mean, it's that old argument. If you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care if people are watching? But it's like, that's still kind of your privacy. And I mean, this is still your likeness that you're putting out there. So I'm glad they brought attention to it.
And I agree. I feel like if your face is ever going to be on anything, you probably at least want them to run it by you real quick. Like, hey,
yeah,
you know, no, yeah, I don't care that my face is on, you know, a cereal box, but I would at least like to know it's going to be on that cereal box before I see it in the stores.
So that would be pretty surreal if you're just like walking down the aisle and all of a sudden you see like your face on a Wheaties box that you didn't know about.
Right. So I get that outlook on it. I don't think the players are, you know, I really, it's like you said, it's over. Where everybody's happy. It's not a big deal. I'm glad that it was able to get done. But in the end, this news story wasn't really a story to begin with, right?
The only winner was the first person to post that link on the Global Offensive subreddit and reap all the karma.
But other than that, this really was just a normal negotiation of anything there. And if anything, yeah, you put some more power into the players' hands that probably need to be there, because I feel like originally when they say like, hey, we can use you on anything, I feel like you're treading waters into more of like the college sports scene where we can sell jerseys with your number on the back of it and, you know, clearly things that are related to you, but you won't see a penny from this.
That's a racket in itself.
Right. But I could see, though.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, slippery slope conditions and everything, but I could see where if you started there, if the organization was like, hey, we can put you anywhere we want and you're going to have to do it, I could see where they were like, hey, we put you on this product. It sold a lot of money, but here's like $10.
Yeah,
I could see where that slowly builds up to where the organizations are.
I'm pretty sure it's how it already is for the most part. Because I mean, the players make their money off of like a small salary from the team, and
if your team does that,
and tournament winnings.
If your team does the salary, all teams do that.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm pretty sure that the likeness part portion of all that contract, all that stuff goes straight to the team, like, or the organization, not the team people, the organization. So I would be concerned with having the irrevocable power of attorney over my likeness on any sheet of paper.
At this point, though, I would take it. If anyone was like, hey, we want to use TCR, I'd be like, sure.
Why not?
put me on a cereal box. I don't care. Yeah. So really nothing to worry about there. I don't think Fnatic has anything to worry about. So they are on their way to Cluj.
New contracts in hand,
new
apparently.
New contracts in hand. Everything is good there. Let's go on to this new segment called Clutch or Kick. We were kind of tossing this idea around as a, you know, and we'll get more into details. I don't know if you wanted to reveal it, but kind of like a website. And then I was like, hey, that kind of sounds like a good idea for a segment. So here's this. Clutch or Kick is basically, I have a handful of stories. I'm going to pitch it to Brandon, and then we'll kind of discuss whether or not they're really worth the story, or, you know, are they going to clutch the match and stick around, or are we just going to kick them out of the room and say F you, vote kick. All right. So first one on the docket here, and you actually know more about this as far as details go, or at least I hope you do. Cause when you said you did, I took the back seat. Yeah, I believe you. I took your word on it. The Counter-Strike Grand Prix. Explain that to the listener. And I know we kind of discussed it in kind of the pre-show meeting, that does that clutch or is it a kick?
All right. So the Counter-Strike Grand Prix is a coalition of six tournament organizers. I know I'm going to forget one. MLG, SIVO, Baseit, Star Ladder, and PGL.
Nailed it.
That's five. I'm still missing one. Anyway.
Look it up.
They are joining forces together with the idea of creating like a super league, what they call a Grand Prix, where each of them put on tournaments that the teams travel around to and play at and win with no exclusivity deals. This is in reference to ESL's majority stakeholder company, MTG, Modern Times Group, purchasing ESEA and is in talks to purchase DreamHack, and has now started pushing again for an exclusivity league and basically shutting down all the other organizations.
So are they, okay, so MLG, all these leagues that you just mentioned, they're making a super league, or is it just that they're sponsoring a league? That's the, and this so, is why I don't understand in it.
So basically what will happen, and this is going to be one of the biggest issues, because they can't, you know, they can't even sort themselves apart.
Right, that's what I was saying. They all have issues in their own end.
They're going to each put on tournaments, and it's all going to be a part of this Grand Prix. They're all going to put money into this Grand Prix together. The idea being they all have a vested interest, and if they all work together, they can keep ESL from signing all these professional teams away from them and basically destroying every other Counter-Strike tournament ever. If it's not ESL, it won't be relevant because all the top teams are going to be in ESL. We actually talked about this on episode one, where we talked about structure, especially in esports, severely lacking. An exclusivity league would fix that because you would only have one tournament. And they would be able to set up a season and run it the way they want to run it, and the teams would be consistent and all that other stuff.
Contracts and rules of trading and leaving rosters. And
right. But on the other hand, ESL has already shown that they lack some general knowledge of customer awareness. And by eliminating all of their competition in one fell swoop, they now own basically the market.
And is that, and I guess this is an ongoing debate and you're never going to convince anyone if they feel the other way on it, but is that a bad thing? I mean, when leagues take over, I mean, when the NFL is the league for football and, you know, the UFL fails, were people like, oh no, we have a monopoly on this?
It's not a monopoly, and here's why.
Okay.
It's not a monopoly because it's entertainment. It'll be a monopoly over esports, but they are competing against the MLB, NFL, and I'm not trying to say that the moment the exclusivity deal goes in, all the other leagues are going to die. They're just going to have second-tier teams.
Well, and there's also no guarantee that all the teams jump on it. I mean, yeah. You might get teams where they say, you know what, I'd rather compete in six tournaments or six majors a year rather than this one.
And that's what Thorin brought that up in his YouTube series, Thorin Thoughts. He was like, you're going to get like two top-tier teams that sign it, and then some tier-two teams, and then maybe a tier-three team. And it's going to be kind of like an okay league to watch, but you're still going to have, you know, a couple other tier one teams playing over here and tier one teams playing over here. And it's going to really like fracture the market.
Right. I think that's
where it starts killing everything.
And I was going to say, maybe at the start you would see that, but I think if organizations start paying their players like they're actually in a league with contracts, I think that's when you see the swing of, you know, tier one players and teams switching over to this organized league. Now, as far as it being a worthy news story or anything that I think is going to happen, I'm voting kick on this one because I don't think it's going to happen. I think it was fluff. Even when people were trying to reach out to all those different leagues, they really didn't say anything on it. They were just like, yeah, we discussed it, but that's all it is right now is discussion. So I think right now, vote kicking this one on my vote. I don't think it's clutching it at right now because I don't see players, I don't see organizations, I don't see fans hopping on to one league, even though I necessarily wouldn't hate it if it was done correctly.
I'm also going to vote kick for a different reason, that if this Grand Prix gets started, it's only a matter of a time, I think maybe a season, maybe two seasons, that somebody gets a little big for the britches and ruins it for everybody. One of the leagues trying to make a power play or something to take over. So I also,
yeah, I mean, kick. you basically have six organizations who
can barely run themselves,
but are also trying to kick the other ones out of contention to take out the one big bad evil ESL. And
at that point, you just have another power struggle that goes on, and exactly. Somebody eventually is going to take over,
right? And so someone eventually with enough money will want to create their own league. So yes, kick on the Grand Prix. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it was just a cool news story for the time being because ESL has its haters.
You can't have a week in esports without Counter-Strike drama. So
this is, I mean, very, like I said in the last episode and even this episode, it's not an esport until there's a giant scandal of some cheating and breaking laws. It's ridiculous. Until people start realizing that you can actually go to jail for messing around on video games, it's going to always be like that. The second thing for clutch up or kick, this is actually So the new story that spawned this idea was HTC Esports Division offered a graphic designer position. I think in the end, it turned more into an internship.
It was posted as an internship, yeah.
Well, originally it was not, though.
Oh, it wasn't.
They removed it and put it up as an internship because I think people are like...
I saw the internship post.
Okay.
All right. See, and so I saw it was the voluntary at first?
Okay. Well, yes. Originally, it was touted as a volunteer graphics designer for their esports division, HTC, multi-billion dollar industry here. And they're asking for volunteers to, donate 10 plus hours a week and, have top of the line quality. We want volunteers with full-time quality. Like, we don't want, it'd be different if you were asking for volunteers and you were taking anyone in just to start building a portfolio. But no, like, their list of requirements were pretty stacked.
Tell me about it.
Right? And so that got me thinking, and it's something that I'm really worried about here as far as esports goes. I feel like there is a dilemma that's not getting enough attention in the esports world, and that is the volunteers. Too many organizations, when I say organizations, I'm not just talking about teams like Cloud9 or Fnatic. I'm talking about like people with money, tournaments with money are asking for what would normally be a paying job, volunteers. And I totally get like if it's like your local LAN center, which I don't, just a LAN center, right? Considering it is already local in the name. Anyways, if it's your local LAN center asking for a volunteer for a tournament, okay, whatever. That's how, free help on those small ones. But when you have guys like HTC or like that Fnatic one we talked about the other day where they're asking for like as much hours as you can put in, I feel like we're spinning this web of like, if you get volunteers, you're going to get volunteer quality of work. And they always, I feel like they'll always hook people with this whole paid opportunities may result from this position.
I absolutely love, if you go on the esports careers website, like under the compensation, they all put the very first thing they put, foot in the door into esports industry. And it's like, no, you are a small website that gets 500 visitors. You don't want to pay anybody and you're not getting any feet in the door because nobody knows who you are.
And we can say that because no one knows who we are.
This is going to be me getting on the high horse.
Right.
Nobody knows who we are. So the freelancers that we have contributing to our website, I pay. I pay them for every article they write. Because, I mean, that's the right thing to do.
It's work, right. And I agree. Hey, look, if you can get free workers, more power to you. I'm just saying this is an issue that needs to quickly be solved on my end. Or as far as you don't see NHL or MLB or any of these big sports asking for this type of volunteers, and we're not saying like, okay, this is a volunteer to I don't know what would be a volunteer position. I don't even know, like, basically think of internship
positions. But at the Mavs, we never had volunteer positions. We had the kids sweeping the floors at the basketball game after a player falls down. They're volunteers, but they're paid for with meals and gear and stuff like that. And then we have internships in the actual office,
which hold a little bit more water because it's like official signing paper. And
well, yeah, the internships were actually like legit. And we hired, I think, the three interns that were there while I was working for the Mavs. Every single one of them got hired.
Yeah, this is, I mean, these organizations like this, an esports graphic designer volunteer. You're going to volunteer to be a graphic designer? Meaning you already went through school to get an art degree that's already pays nothing, and then you're going to accept a volunteer position?
And I'll go ahead and throw this out there. As much as I hate this, I did apply for that position and got denied within like a day or two or something. And I'm not saying I'm good, but I'm not really a slouch either. I mean, I put the website together and the logos and all that stuff. And it's not like groundbreaking work, but it's not bad either. Like, I want to know what kind of quality that they are seeking. But he did say in the no thank you email that they got a ton of interest. So
I'm sure. And that's the thing. And that's why companies are going to keep offering these volunteer, which should really be classified as internships, but an internship actually means you're going to be doing it longer or than 2 weeks. Yeah. So I it's not going to be an issue that goes. So for me, the issue of volunteers is going to clutch. That's going to stay around because I feel like that's an issue that I want to keep focusing on, and that will be my crusade in life, is to get these volunteers some money. Or you know what? How about you just pay them little? Like,
well, there's other ways to compensate people beyond paying them a salary. Like, you can give them equity in a company. Like if you're a small company and you're trying to find a graphic designer to build out your entire website, don't ask for a volunteer. Like get somebody that's interested in sticking around in your company. Give them something to keep them there.
Or contract work.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I feel all this should be. So the issue of volunteers in esports, where I honestly feel like big companies are doing this because they know they can cut corners on their cash spending, that's going to clutch, but the volunteers need to be kicked. That's my theory.
Can we do that?
That's what I'm doing. I made up the rules. Yeah.
Definitely kick the voluntary job positions. I hate them. I hate that they are somewhat necessary to get into the industry right now. Unless you know somebody that's already high up, you kind of have to do it. But definitely clutch the story of volunteer positions going down.
I agree. And the last thing for clutch and kick, which will basically kind of be a segue into our Cluj preview, is Scream on Titan. It's been, 41 matches, give or take, since we started this recording here today, where Titan has played with Scream.
And only, three of them have been on LAN, I think, three or four.
Yeah, there hasn't just been a lot of opportunities for that.
Yeah.
But I think out of the 41 matches or so, they're roughly 23-18. So they're over 500 with Scream since they've added them. Would you say that this is a success? Are they happy with their investment? Because keep in mind, they did spend a little over $150,000 for Scream. Is it too early to start questioning whether or not it was a good investment? Do we need to wait to see what happened at Cluj?
Definitely have to wait. You brought up the stat yesterday. I don't know if you wrote it down, but between those two games, a 95% headshot.
Yeah, he had a small stretch there where he had a 95% headshot for two or three matches.
37 of 41 kills or something ridiculous like that.
There's no question that Scream is not an elite player here.
We have to wait till after the major to clutch or kick it. I think at this point he's a clutch, but if they don't place top three or top four at this major.
Top three or top four? You're really sticking them that high up there?
I you know what? I think they're going to pull through. I mean,
when I wrote this down, I was thinking, okay, if Titan doesn't make top four, then yes, then you could start saying,
Was it worth it?
Is that $160,000, $150,000 for Titan, was that worth having Scream back? But then again, Titan never really has played well at majors to begin with. I don't think they've ever placed higher than top eight at a major. So, I mean, and you think, okay, top four. Well, who does that involve beating? I mean, you'd have to think if they're top four, they're above NIP. They're above, which, I mean, they're probably on the same level right now, them and NIP, but they're going to be above what? VP, Fnatic, TSM.
Envious.
I mean, those are kind of the top four, right? For everybody there. So if you're saying that they need to be top three, of those top four, which one are they going to knock out? And I don't think any of them. So that's why it's almost like...
I'm going to go ahead and hedge it and say top three for Titan.
Okay.
And clutch it.
That's pretty impressive. I don't think they're going to be top three. I think they'll get out of groups and be top six. If they don't make it out of groups, then...
It's really embarrassing for me.
If they don't make it out of groups, then something needs to be looked at, because you just paid $150,000 for a player and you ended up in the same spot that you were before. Maybe it has something to do with the hype that's around it or something. And I think you're caught up in the hype rather than the results.
I'm caught up in the Scream hype, and I totally am.
They're a little over 500 in their last 40 matches since Scream joined, so... I don't know. I don't think they're.
I'm just gonna say you're focusing too much on online. Just wait till the major.
I think if they get into top eight, people will view it as a.
They've got to start winning money to make that back.
Well, I mean, yeah. As far as an organization goes, yes, they have to make money in order for the organization not to look silly. But I think if they make top eight, people will look at it as an improvement. If they make it top six, I think that's when you could start getting excited, saying, okay, this is being success. Top four, you're playing with house money at that point. I think that's when people will start looking at Titan like an actual, you know.
I'm on the Scream hype train all the way.
So, I mean, okay, so let's look at this then. So Titan is in, as far as Kalouge goes, let's just start our preview here. So Titan is in Group C, the group of death.
Yeah, that group is rough.
Anybody who's followed CSGO has seen this group because it's unreal. And we'd even talked about it on the last show. Group C has Virtus Pro, NiP, Titan, and the up-and-coming Liquid, which is somewhat of a wild card because I feel like they might make it out of that group. It's going to be a long shot. And I know Hiko's expression makes it look like they have zero confidence in it.
It was awesome to watch that live. As he wanted to
throw up looking at the group. But okay, so looking at that, and I even have here, Virtus Pro, they're going through.
Oh, are we going to do group predictions?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Virtus Pro, they're making it out. First seed of Group C. Other than that, I was trying to talk to myself last night to see who would take the second between NiP, Titan, and Liquid.
So you know how big of a Liquid fan I am. I have the T-shirt, the sticker is on my computer. The
whoa
background is on my Surface whoa. Right now. And when I wrote down my predictions for Group C, I said not Liquid.
No Homer.
VP and Titan.
Okay, so you think VP? Now when I did my CS:GO Pick'em challenge, I picked NiP. I picked NiP over Titan and Liquid. Though I am not going to be surprised. I'll tell you this. I'll be happy if Liquid makes it through, but I won't necessarily be surprised because I think Titan can drop the ball since this is one of their first, you know, majors. This is like their big
debut
with Scream, really, if you want to look at it. NiP, you don't know what they're going to bring out.
So wishy-washy.
And you don't recently. Know if the players care anymore. And now there's rumor that Simple is joining NiP.
Which he started.
And that, yes, I don't know. He tweeted out Simple, who just left Hellraisers, tweeted out a picture of him in like a NiP jersey. No.
It wasn't him. That's a picture from a store, like an online store website of a NiP jersey for sale. It's not even him.
Okay.
It's like a stock image on a website. But he tweeted it out and now everybody's
is going off there, and he even tweeted out like, oh well, by the way, I did study Swedish, so
that's simple.
I'm familiar with the language. So there's tons. I mean, we've talked about it since episode one. The rumors with NiP are never ending. There was Get Right going to Cloud9 and the entire team just blowing remember, up. And now
just remember I told you after Kluge, the team's gonna blow up.
I believe you said that after the last one, after Dubai.
After the next major. We're gonna have to go back and listen.
We'll look. I mean, you have that article too, so we have plenty of proof to prove you wrong. But I think NiP, until they give me really a reason to not think it, I think they'll come out second. I think it will be a close one. But I
so Group C, you've got VP and NiP.
Yes. A very soft.
And I've got VP and Titan.
Confident. Yeah, I have low confidence in NiP, but I do think they're going to outshine with Titan and Liquid. And this is why, though. So I think because the way the groups are being played out, for those who don't know, it's the first game you play in groups is best of one, which I hate. But hey, that's what you're going to have to do.
You got
to
get it moving along.
Right. If you do best of three every match, you'll have 4-hour matches. So the first game in groups is best of one, and then the elimination, so your second match in groups is best of three. So I think all these teams are capable of losing
one match.
Yeah. But I think NiP will turn it around in a best of three. That's my theory on it.
All right.
VP will have no issue, though. Let's jump to, I guess let's just go in order. So Group A, you have Fnatic, Luminosity, Cloud9, and Vexed Gaming.
Which Cloud9 is very lucky to have fallen into that group, in my opinion.
I think, well, obviously Fnatic, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, yeah, they've been struggling a little bit, but every team, I think every team struggles before a major just because they're,
you know what's crazy?
Their mind is not in.
That Fnatic struggles? I mean, they're still ranked like number three.
Yeah, no, I know it's like they. Well, just the other day they were goofing around doing some crab walk
with the dueling pistols.
Oh yeah, so I really just think they are in major mode, and they're really just using these league plays, these season plays, for practice. Like, you know, like, well, hey,
they got their new contract. What are they worried about?
Well, and they're first place in some of these leagues where they know they're gonna qualify. So it's like, hey, let's use this competitive match where this other team is really trying to win as a way to practice these oddball strats that, you know, Fnatic is well known for doing, these kind of out of the box thinking strats. So Fnatic, no question there. Obviously, I'm going to be a homer and pick Cloud9 as my number two team.
Cloud9's got a lot of pressure. If they don't perform this major, they've been struggling long enough.
If Cloud9, and look, I'm, again, just like with Group C, Cloud9 could easily not make it out of groups.
They can easily have two bad games and just spiral.
Right. Like, I mean, I think Cloud9's composure is very low. Like, I feel like when they do struggle, it's just all, you know, the world is on fire right now kind of deal. Because, yeah, if they have a bad game, they tend to not be very good at coming back from it. So I think if Luminosity jumps on it fast enough and gets that first win, I think Cloud9 would, I think they'll be done. And I think you will have to see some changes going on. Maybe with Simple going to NIP, maybe the rumor of Get Right going to Cloud9 and Sean Garris becoming a coach isn't that far from reality there. I mean, you saw, I watched a little bit of the Cloud9 documentary, and Sean Garris is their, you know, in-game leader. He is their shot caller. So for him moving into the coaching role,
it makes sense. But
it makes sense.
I don't think you see Get Right come over. I think out of all the players on that NIP would want to hold on to, Get Right is probably numero uno.
It's skill wise, yeah. But I guess you just don't know.
Yeah,
what personality, they're looking to do, right? Yeah. I mean, you never know, especially where Simple's going to fit in if that rumor is true.
I've also got Fnatic and Cloud9, much for the same reason you said. I mean, they're those two teams are just a step above Luminosity and Vexed, I think it is.
Yeah, Vexed Gaming is in there.
Yeah, they're a step above Luminosity and Vexed. But yeah, Cloud9 can easily.
Also, if you're a believer of, you know, things getting to your head, Luminosity actually missed their flight today.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
So they're going to be getting to Cluj. I don't know how the time zone works. I think they're going to get there the day before the tournament starts.
Well, the Luminosity manager?
CEO person?
Yeah, he posted on Reddit. They got direct flights, so they're supposed to be there in time.
But they're staying the night, though, wherever. Basically, what happened is their taxi driver took them to the wrong airport, left them out, you know, let them get out of the car, and was like, well, you guys got it from here.
See you later.
So that's what happened, where...
That's rough.
So now they're sleeping in a hotel. So if you're a believer in things messing with your brain, Luminosity could, you know, they're not going in there in the right mental state if you believe that.
Already stressed out.
Group B is probably the easiest group, just looking at the teams. It's also kind of makes one of the easier groups kind of harder to pick who's going to come out of. My predictions is TSM's going to take first. I think they're going to be the number one seed out of that. And then you have G2, Mouse Sports, and Flipside. I don't know why Flipside is still relevant. Maybe someone can explain that to me. I just don't think they're that, like, I just don't think they're that relevant. But yet they keep making it in tournaments.
You know, I look at this group too, and I think the same thing. I think, like, wow, this is a pretty easy group. TSM is obviously the top dog of that group. The other ones in there, though, G2 and Mouse Sports both made Thorin's top 10 list of Counter-Strike teams going into this major, which I was kind of surprised to see that. But, I mean, they're there. I mean, that could be a surprising group to watch.
I have Mouse Sports coming out of that.
Let's see.
I have Mouse Sports coming out over G2 and Flipside.
I took TSM and Flipside.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You took Flipside? See, yeah, I don't.
I'm taking the underdog.
I think Mouse Sports, I think Mouse Sports is a really up and coming team that people are not paying enough attention to. Mouse Sports has won me many, many skins on betting. So I like Mouse Sports for that one. G2, I still think, is riding the coattails of old G2.
New
awesome logo and all. I don't think
that new logo is pretty sick. No, but concerning Mouse Sports, I mean, I was looking at their last, when I looked up the stats, the last four losses were to NIP, Dignitas, TSM, and Lounge Gaming. And if you're not performing against those teams, I don't see how you can make it out.
But. I don't know. I think Mouse Sports will pull it through. We already talked about Group C there, Group of Death. That will be a must-see. Speaking of must-sees, you will actually be able to watch every single match.
Oh,
there will be no matches going on simultaneously.
Really?
Yep, it will be one match going on, so that way you can watch every single match.
I wonder if that means we are not going to have 35 minutes of dead air in between every match that's broadcast.
God, you would hope not. You would hope not. But I mean, you got to give at least, then again, I mean, what? 10 minutes max to get your equipment set up as far as the players go, right? Like, we don't need 35 minutes. And then that gives enough time for players analysis and commentating and all that.
Anyway, Group D.
Group D, you have Envious, however you want to say that. They'll correct you. Navi, CLG, and Dignitas.
I'm going for the easy picks in Group D. Envious and
Navi.
Navi.
That's what I got. I have Envious and Navi. Dignitas, I don't think is going to make it out. CLG could be a surprise, but I don't think they're going to beat Navi on LAN.
They've had a really weird record over the last like 12 matches or so. They've pretty much gone 50-50 back and forth with win and loss.
And beating like teams like Cloud9.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know where Cloud9... It's so hard to judge, though, before tournament. Because, yeah, Cloud9 has lost like their last three or four, right? Do you have that in front of you? Cloud9 has been getting destroyed.
They had a 3-loss streak as of yesterday. I don't know if they played any matches today or not. But they had a 3-loss streak to CLG, Enemy, and Conquest.
Right. That is
like who?
Horrible.
So
I don't know if they were trying new strategies before Kaluj or what, but my God, that makes you just question everything you know about Group A. So yeah, I have Group D very obvious there. So really, out of all the groups, me and you only have one out of the three North American teams making it out of there.
Yeah,
Cloud9, and that's
Nine.
A very shaky...
That's just because they got the lucky group draw.
Right. And yeah. And I mean, you're really kind of picking them on their names. Luminosity could easily come out of that as well. So one North America team out of there. Liquid, again, could be a surprise pick, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Again, my theory of North Americans playing poorly at European, you know, lands. I think it, or, you know, whatever, European over the pond lands. I think.
And don't get me wrong.
I think it sticks. I think flying over there and playing, and you're just really out of your element.
I will have on my Liquid shirt while they're playing, but
I'll rep Cloud9 all day till the day I die. I don't think North America is going to do well. Cloud9 making out of group will probably save Freakazoid's position on the team, but I don't think anyone's going to do well there. Some kind of highlights there, though. I mean, TSM. Just speaking in general now, will this be the tournament that they finally get their first win on? I know they've been in the top three, I think, the last three majors. I guess who's your favorite to win it all? Because a lot of people are picking TSM. But I feel like they're picking TSM just because they feel like it's their time to win.
Man, if I had to pick one team, I mean, I don't know how you can go with anyone other than VP.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how you can go away from Virtus Pro. I mean, they're...
I feel like Virtus Pro is a weird team in the sense of that they're silent. Like, they play really well at majors, but in between majors,
you don't hear a lot from them.
They're very selective on what matches they pick. Like,
Liquid seems so solid.
I feel like Liquid plays, like, every night. And VP, maybe it's just because they play early morning matches or something.
I never see him, yeah.
I never seen
them. They are rarely doing matches, but you're right. They are very solid. My pick is Fnatic, though. I still think Fnatic will make it three majors.
There you go.
I think Fnatic will win their third major in a row, but we'll see. I guess the way it works, like I said, so you have group play, which is lasting, I think, for three or so days. And then the only way you can play a team from your group isn't until you meet them in the grand final. So that being said, being that Group C is one of the toughest groups, if VP does make it out of that group, which they will, I'd be very surprised if VP lost. I mean, they're not going to have to face NiP or Titan or Liquid if they make it out of there until the final.
Yeah, but they're still going to have... they're still going to have to deal with TSM. They're still going to have to deal with like Envious or Na'Vi or Fnatic. I mean, if they get matched up with like Cloud9 or Flipside, in my predictions, you'd probably be all right. But I still take VP to win it all.
All right, you have VP, I have Fnatic. We'll see. I mean, either way, it's going to be an amazing thing. It starts Wednesday. Highly suggest everyone checking it out. I really don't know what the time zone is over there, so
Lord knows
we're going to have to wake up early.
I just know it's going to be on when I'm at work, so I'll have my iPhone on Twitch.
Right. All right, so that's it for the Kaluj preview. Let us know what you think. Let us know your thoughts and predictions on our Twitter. You can always tell us at The Center Ring on Twitter, at the website, pgn.tv. That will also have some articles up there, I'm sure, from very qualified, very paid, non-volunteer writers. Let's get on to the micro here then, since we're running short on time here. You have some micro stories for us.
Yeah, speaking of Team Dignitas playing in Group D at Cluj, they actually had to sell off their European League of Legends team due to LCS's rule of only allowing one team per organization in LCS. So they had a team in LCS and then another team playing in their Challenger Series, and they ended up qualifying for the LCS, so they had to sell it. Word on the street is it got upwards of $1 million for just the team.
I mean, that's not bad. I guess Dignitas will take it.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
It does suck to lose that kind of farm system, if you will.
Yeah.
But when you have $1 million, I mean...
you got enough money to go buy another Challenger team.
Right, so... and I actually, that being said, I think it would be really cool for teams to having like a farm system, if you will, but I think that's... That's not way down the line until you start having actual organizations be organized.
And the other thing I've got, and we've kind of talked about this before, with Activision Blizzard kind of throwing money at esports, trying to get something to stick. They have actually hired the former CEO of ESPN and NFL Network, Steve Bornstein, and the former MLG president, Mike Sepso. To create their new esports division. So now they are throwing even more money at esports.
And this is all coming a little bit after the news that Activision is having their own Call of Duty League.
Yep.
Don't know all the details on that. I would have to assume that would be an exclusive league, right?
I mean, if
the creators of the game are having their own league, you would think that would take Call of Duty away from MLG, especially if they're paying this much money to bring in people from ESPN to run it.
Yeah.
You would assume.
Well, I mean, they've got Heroes of the Storm already, Call of Duty with Activision, Overwatch is a closed beta just started. Yes, people were getting downloads for that today.
Not me, though.
They've got games out there that they want to like solidify as an esport. I don't know if any, I mean, Call of Duty is going to stick because there's not a whole lot of competition in the console market right now. I mean, Halo 5 just came out,
so you don't know. You don't know how that's going to be received. And that's actually you just brought up a good point with Halo 5 coming out. If they take away Call of Duty from MLG, will MLG try going back to their baby?
Well, MLG's trying to get in on that Counter-Strike Grand Prix too, so I think they understand where the money's at, and it's sadly not with Microsoft and the Xbox.
I feel like the days for console FPSs are really coming to an end as far as competitive goes. As far as just getting the crowds of people there, and I just feel like...
Well, because the big powerful computers everybody has now that can run all these games, so
it's catching up to him. So I'm sure MLG is more so doing this more so for not getting lost in the fray, if anything. Yeah. That's my theory on that one.
So that's what I got for the micro.
All right. Good stuff there. Thank you, Brandon. That does it for the show today, folks. Episode 6 of The Center Ring came to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location, since I forgot to say that in the intro. You can catch us on our Twitter, as previously mentioned, at The Center Ring. Follow us for the latest show news, kind of just let you know when new episodes are out. You can follow us on our website, pgn.tv, also the show, pgn.tv/TCR. My Twitter is at Pirate Mushroom. Yours is
at Brand PGN.
Good deal. We don't actually do a lot of teases on this show just because we never know what we're going to talk about. But we do know on the next episode, we will have Cluj recap, seeing how wrong we were or how right we were.
Maybe, and we do have maybe the predictions
Cloud
written
Nine,
down.
Cloud Nine will win it. And we will all be so wrong. That might happen. Also, we have an interview with the CEO of Mastery.gg, previously mentioned in the last episode, too.
Yep.
So we actually have two things already planned, so be sure to check out episode 7 of TCR. That's going to be out Monday, Tuesday next week, kind of keeping that on schedule. All right, folks, we'll see you later.